Hey, you want to hear a story about plumbing? This week we're going to do bedtime stories. Please do not operate heavy machinery while listening to this. Probably the best thing to do is just stop whatever you're doing and just like sit for a second. Just don't want you tripping over anything. It's not a thing to listen to if you want to be alert. That's what's gonna happen this week.
We don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go on living. But it's a great idea, it's a great thing. If you can learn what the Chinese call purposelessness. They think nature is purposeless. When we say something's purposeless, that's put down. There's no future in it. It's a washout. But when they hear the word purposeless, they think that's just great. It's like the waves washing against the shore, going on and on and on forever with no meaning. A great Zen master said as his death poem, just before he died, "From the bathtub to the bathtub, I have uttered stuff and nonsense." The bathtub in which the baby is washed at birth, the bathtub in which the corpse is washed before burial, all this time I have said many nonsenses. Like the birds in the trees go, "Twee, twee, 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 what's it all about?" Everybody tries to say, "Oh, it's a mating call. It's purposeful. Trying to get their mate, you know, attract them with a song. That's why they have colors. Butterflies have eyes on them. Self-protection. Engineering view of the universe." Why do that? They say, well, it's because they need to survive. Well, why survive? What's that for? Well, to survive. See, human beings really are a lot of tubes. And all living creatures are just tubes. And these tubes have to put things in at one end and let it out at the other. Then they get clever about it and they develop nerve ganglia on one end of the tube, the eating end, called a head. And that's in it. It's got eyes in it, it's got ears in it, it's got little organs, antenna, and things like this. And that helps you to find things to put in one end so that you can let them out the other. Well, while you're doing this, you see, the stuff going through wears the tube out. And so, that the show can go on, the tubes have complicated ways of making other tubes who will go on doing the same thing, in at one end, out the other. And they say, well, that's terribly serious. That's awfully important. We've got to keep on doing this.
Have you ever flushed a toilet and then it sounds like a foghorn? Pipes rattling? Has it ever happened to you? It happened to me. I thought it was because of all the coffee grounds that I flushed down the toilet because I don't know what else to do with them. But I did a little bit of research on the internet and it says the problem is your fill valve. So I says to myself, I says, you should probably go test it to make sure that that's what's happening. And sure enough, that dang thing was rattling. So I looked at Google again. How do you replace it? Oh, it looked pretty simple. Step one, go to Home Depot and then look for the aisles that are labeled plumbing and then find the one that says toilets or whatever, and then there's where your fill valves are gonna be. Not that expensive either. They ranged from $13 to anywhere all the way up to $35. I do realize I sound like I'm doing a Joe Pereira impression, but I'm trying not to. dang how I've been listening to them, but I had did this bedtime stories before. But I think I was reading children's books. But this time I'm telling stories about toilet fill valves. So I got the one with the fancy packaging for $16, and it said, new quiet technology. So I thought I better get that one. Gotta love quiet plunger technology. I hope it is quiet when I flush. I guess that's what the extra $3 is for. But on my way out of Home Depot, you realize, hey, the kitchen sink faucet's been leaking. Something on the inside. When you turn the taps on, the middle part where the spout comes out, because it's got the two handles, one handle for cold and one for hot, and when you put them both on at the same time, you can adjust the temperature. But in the middle, it's the nozzle where it comes out, and at the base of that, there's been a leak for a while. Just a trickle. And I figure the washer or gas, the washer's probably gone. Washers wear out or something. So on my way out of Home Depot, I figured, hey, why don't I get a faucet? Luckily, I was in the plumbing section because the faucet section was pretty close. Home Depot sure does know how to lay out their store of goods. You're not gonna find any 2x4s where the faucets are. So I looked at the section that was kitchen faucets, and I had to make sure that it was a two-hole, 2 to 3 hole faucet. Because you can get a one-hole faucet, and that just means there's one hole in your countertop. But mine has 2 holes, 8 inches apart. Luckily, that's a universal length of a two-hole faucet. So I stood there looking at these faucets for probably a good 10 minutes. Just couldn't decide. Because there's some two-hole faucets, or what they call in the industry is 3-hole faucets. And then it only had one lever to make the hot and cold. I thought that would be fancy. But I know how I am. When I go to Home Depot, I always have to go twice. Because I always screw something up. Either I bought the wrong thing, or I didn't get a thing in order to install the new thing. So I had to really be careful with my choices. And I didn't want to spend too much. I was already getting a flange fill valve. So without going into too much of the detail of how I was making my choices and going back and forth and looking at one and then finding the box and looking at the box and reading on the box if it said anything interesting. It was a very difficult decision, but I chose the one that was $68, or was it $73? I couldn't remember. It had a lovely big spout that kind of arced. Why am I saying it as that and it sounds like it doesn't exist? It's now sitting in my place. Well, there I go giving away the ending of the story. But it wasn't easy. So when I got home with my faucet and my fill valve, I decided to do the easier one first. While I would still sort of ponder whether or not I made the right decision on Fawcett. Well, let me tell you, I had a darn time getting that old fill valve out of the toilet. I did not have a C-wrench, or pipe wrench as it's called in the industry. I had to use like, it's not like a crescent wrench. It was like the crescent wrench, but you have to squeeze them together. It's got the same chompy parts as a crescent wrench. Anyway, pretty hard to get those suckers into small places, because you got to get under the toilet bowl, and then there's a plastic thing that you're usually supposed to be able to just take it off with your hands. But whoever had installed that, they will put that sucker on. After some trial and error, I got the plastic nut to come off. Oh yeah, forgot to mention, yes, I did turn all the water off. But my only mistake was when I pulled the fill valve out, the old one, there was still some water left in the tank. Not too much though, but enough to make kind of a mess. I only had to use one bath towel though. The next part was putting the new valve into spot. Putting it in was quite easy. You just drop it down into the hole, the old hole where the old valve was. The tricky part was trying to set it to the right height so your bowl wasn't too much full of water or too little full of water. So you had to get it 1 inch below the overflow. The overflow pipe. Let me tell you, once I got that in, I flushed that toilet with excitement, trying to see how quiet it was. It sounded different than the old valve. But I can confirm that it is a quieter. As for the new faucet, in which I had a heck of a time getting those suckers out, same sort of process, hand tighten the thing or whatever, there's a bolt, and then you gotta get under the sink like you're changing the oil in a Buick. Had to use a wrench once or twice. That's what it's probably called, a wrench. Not a crescent wrench, just a straight old bare wrench. I don't know. I should have looked that up. At one point, I thought that the faucet was kind of uneven and wiggled. So I tried to loosen one of the sides underneath the side, because you drop it down into the two holes and you got those little pipes that come out of the faucet, and then you attach your water lines to, you know. But anyway, you're supposed to finger tighten those ones as well, because it's plastic on, but underneath of my underneath of my sink is old cracking particle board. It's falling apart. But that's what you get for 40 years. Heck, I'm in better shape than this building. Had to work at it though. Anyway, the faucet couldn't get in hand tightened enough. Or maybe I hand-tightened it too much, because now it's in there. So whoever wants to take that out, boy, gonna need some sort of wrench. So I just wrenched on the other side, and that seemed to shore it up, and now it doesn't wiggle as much. Maybe I misread the instructions. I don't know. She's on there tight, boy. So I got excited and reattached the water lines, making sure that the cold went to the cold side, which is generally on your right-hand side, and then the hot one, which is generally on your left-hand side. But from my perspective, as I was laying under the sink, it was opposite, just because you were looking at it from a different angle. So you don't want to screw that up. But a few days of using the new faucet had some issues. It sputtered for a bit for the first day, like a dog that ate too fast and then started throwing up. But now it just sort of sputters every once in a while. Hopefully it's just working itself out, because I don't want to have to take that out again. So I guess I'm a plumber now.
Philosopher will ask me, what do I mean by reality? Am I talking about the physical world of nature? Or am I talking about a spiritual world? Or what? And to that I have a very simple answer. When we talk about the material world, that is actually a philosophical concept. So in the same way, if I say that reality is spiritual, that's also a philosophical concept. And reality itself is not a concept. Reality is...
Sorry for the gong there. It's just a safety precaution in case anybody was actually operating every machinery or driving a vehicle. Just had to have something in the middle of this episode in order to wake you up just in case you did not abide by safety regulations as per what I think should be a safety precaution. Buckle up them safety belts and look both ways before crossing a street. That's what I always say. This might turn into a story, or it might just be a bunch of one-lined blurbs of thoughts. Where's the best place to keep cleaning products? Do you separate them among the house? The kitchen stuff stays in the kitchen. The bathroom cleaning spray stays in the bathroom. Nah. Damn things have to live in the same spot. Probably convenient to have a little tray for them. Why must there always be cleaning to do? The building being built across the street, they're in the lumber phase. In the mornings, all I hear is hammering and drilling. A drill that sounds like a saw. And all that dust is coming on over. My balcony has got a nice layer of lumber particles. The floors have been very dirty. It's been very difficult to keep this place clean. This isn't a story. This is just blurbs. Making checklists and standing by them is a good idea. After you make a purchase, enter it into an app. An app that you can categorize everything that you're doing. And then at the end of the month, you're going to see a gift. That gift is you suck at money. Why is eating so difficult? That's all I had, that it wasn't going anywhere. How can you stay focused on a little 2-minute YouTube video? Have I been sucked into the TikTok attention span? Can't even barely sit through a movie. I need to watch more movies. I'm making myself fall asleep. This is rough. I'll give you a treat for the end of this episode. This was just a... nothing good came of that. Hey, the UFC's in town this weekend, and you can go to the BC Liquor Store on 39th and Canby Friday, June 9th, and you can go get a bottle of Howler Head Monkey Bourbon, and you can get Valentina Shevchenko to sign it, the former flyweight champion, and, you know, beating everybody. Pistol Pete, they used to call her. Go get your picture took, go get a bottle of booze, go drink that booze while you watch UFC this weekend. It's taking place at Rogers Arena in Vancouver. That'll probably be on at Saturday night. Tickets are way too expensive. It's why? Why does it have to be $500 to get in the door? That's stupid. You're going to sit so far away and there's no commentary. You're just seeing a couple little dots sort of have a little hug. Stay at home and watch it on TV. But go down to BC Liquor Store on 39th and Canby tomorrow. And go get your howler head and go tell Valentina Shevchenko I said, she doesn't know who I am. Frog lives in a garden. Everyone there makes fun of him. Nobody plays with him. One day, Frog is so sad that he runs away. He jumps into a house and hides under a boy's bed. The boy's mother comes in and looks at the boy's homework. "You don't have good grades," she tells the boy. "I know you're smart. Perhaps you just aren't trying very hard. Don't you want to have good marks?" The boy doesn't work hard at all. In fact, he reads so little that one day all the alphabets and numbers in his books fall off their pages. Frog is still under the boy's bed. He jumps up with excitement when he sees all the letters and numbers. "I'll learn all of them," he says. "Then I'll be smart and no one will make fun of me." The letters and numbers are dusty from not being used for so long. Frog cleans all of them. Frog learns how to spell and write with the help of the letters. The numbers help Frog learn how to count or do math. Frog studies hard over next month. And now, Frog can read like expert. Oh no, one day, the boy's mother discovers Frog in house. He's forced to leave. But Frog has learned so much already and continues to learn back at the garden. "Frog can read, write, and do maths," says the other frogs. "Wow, can you teach us, Frog?" The next day, the boy opens his notebook. "What? Where's all the letters and numbers?" he screams. He doesn't know that Frog took all the letters with him, and now he's the smartest in the garden. The end. This has been a book called The Smart Frog, based on story by Kin Kik Hokcho, translated by Gori Signorci, written by Nguyen Tran Ling Chok. The illustration by Tran Luc Dang Nguyen. Published by Story Weaver. Good night.